I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm delighted to have you with me today. This program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry using radio, internet, print media, and more to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Several weeks ago, we announced the beginning of our 16th international language broadcast. Our newest program is in the Telugu language of India. About 74 million people speak Telugu, and many of them are illiterate. So radio is one of the few effective ways to reach them. And in just the second week of broadcasting, we had our first response. Praise God!
Give to our God.
Yes, God sent His Son with power to save from guilt and darkness and the grave. Before the choir sang, I was talking about our Telugu language broadcast to India. But we also broadcast to northern India, and the predominant language there is Hindi. More than 500 million people speak the Hindi language, and our broadcasts air Monday through Friday. In a recent report from the producers of the Hindi program, they shared this following testimony from a listener. I live in a small village. I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior in December of 2019. Previously, I turned on my radio just to listen to Christian Hindi music. When the teaching program started, I would always turn off my radio. But one day, when I was listening to the music, I forgot to turn off the radio. And I heard the whole teaching program. The message touched my heart. And on that very day, I accepted Jesus into my life and started listening to your programs regularly. Thank God, another name has been added to the Book of Life. Let's rejoice with the angels that another person has been rescued from the darkness of sin and despair.
Rejoice, O peoples of the earth, the word of dispels our night. He fills our minds with truth and mirth. His gospel brings us into light. All peoples of the earth rejoice that God, whose word sets all men free, has willed that all who heed his voice shall dwell in perfect liberty. The entrance of thy word brings light, O God, our Father, Christ, our King. We wait thy kingdom splendor bright, as loud our alleluias ring, as loud our alleluias ring.
Thank you, men. Today, on The Voice of Hope, we're returning to our study in the book of Daniel. I hope you can stay with me for our study in Daniel chapter 10. Our study is titled, A Glorious Vision. Now, we won't be able to cover this in just one program, so be sure to tune in next week also. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul shares with his readers a partial list of the things he suffered for the sake of Christ and the gospel. Things like beatings, stoning, shipwreck, hunger and thirst, betrayal, and much more. And then in the opening verses of chapter 12, he shares about a vision he had of the glories of heaven. It's possible he had that vision during one of the times he was unconscious after he had been stoned by the enemies of the gospel. At any rate, he said he was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise, and heard inexpressible words which it's not lawful for a man to speak. And although he doesn't say this, we can assume he saw things that he also wasn't free to talk about. In Revelation chapter 1, we have the record of John's vision of the glorified Christ. And when you read it, you get the sense that John is struggling to find words to accurately communicate with us what he saw. The glory and majesty of heaven and of the heavenly beings almost defies human description. As we continue our study in the book of Daniel, chapter 10 introduces us to a glorious vision that was given to him. This vision was so magnificent, so glorious, that his physical strength totally deserted him. His experience was somewhat similar to the prophet Isaiah's vision of Almighty God. And you remember the effect on Isaiah was that he felt like he was becoming unraveled. I hope you're being blessed by these studies in the book of Daniel. Isn't it encouraging that in these times of great uncertainty, like we're experiencing now, to know that God has all of human history within his grasp? Clearly, he ordered the life cycle of the world empires to accomplish his purposes in the past. And even so, he can surely guide history to its predetermined conclusion. And you know something? That gives me great hope and great comfort. So let's turn now to our text, Daniel chapter 10 and verses 1 through 9. And I invite you to listen to these God-inspired words as Daniel recorded them for us. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Daniel's vision in this text has only one parallel as I see it. As I said in my opening comments, that parallel vision is found in Revelation chapter 1. These last three chapters of Daniel's prophecy are incredibly unique. And I quote commentator Herbert Leopold. He says, "There is hardly anything in the Bible that is like these three chapters, especially like chapter 11. The word, the vision, and the minute prediction are combined in a manner that is found nowhere else in the scriptures." And that's the end of the quote. The entirety of chapter 10, including the first verse of chapter 11, is an introduction for what follows in chapters 11 and 12. And I think this in itself indicates the magnitude of the prophecies that are going to follow. These last three chapters contain the fourth vision that was given to Daniel. And this final vision brings together various threads of prophecy, especially as they relate to the physical land of Israel and to the ancient covenant people, the Jews. So let's begin our study, A Glorious Vision, by looking at the setting of Daniel's vision. The time is stated as the third year of King Cyrus, or approximately 536 BC. This was late in Daniel's royal service, about 72 years after he'd been carried as a captive to Babylon. So he's possibly in his late 80s or even his early 90s. Now it's interesting, his Babylonian name is given here. I believe he wanted it to be clear that yes, this is the same Daniel who was renamed by King Nebuchadnezzar so many years before, who was given skill and understanding in interpreting dreams. And then the Authorized Version says, "A thing was revealed to Daniel." A better translation would be, "A word or a revelation was given to Daniel." The nature of that revelation is described as we move through our text. And further, Daniel says the word was true. Now, we wouldn't expect any less of revelation that came from God, would we? Psalm 119:160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." In addition, Daniel says the appointed time was long. Hebrew scholars find this phrase difficult, but here's the implication, that the time period referred to is a long one, and it involves great trouble and conflict for the people of God. The final item in this opening verse is Daniel's statement that he understood the word he was given, and he understood the vision. That's in contrast to some of the previous visions that left unresolved questions in Daniel's mind. Did Daniel understand all that was revealed in these concluding chapters? Probably not, but he understood the general framework of the prophecy. So this experience here in chapter 10 wasn't like the one in chapter 8. There he said, "I fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it." As I said earlier, the whole of chapter 10 is preparation for the vision that is coming in the remainder of the book. And part of that preparation is Daniel's time of mourning. We saw a similar pattern in chapter 9. The opening of the chapter, Daniel is interceding, he's praying, and that was then followed by the vision of the 70th week. So Daniel was observing here, in chapter 10, a partial fast for 3 full weeks or 21 days. We're informed that he maintained a subsistence diet, probably unleavened bread and water, and he didn't anoint himself with oil. In other words, he gave the absolute minimum of care for his body, both inside and out. Now, the question comes, why was Daniel mourning? Quite possibly, it was his concern for the Jewish exiles who had returned to Jerusalem 2 years earlier. Ezra's writings make it clear that the Jewish people had a lot of difficulty in getting reestablished in the land. You might recall they had started to rebuild the temple, but then they were stopped by local opposition. Daniel may not have understood that the return of the exiles recorded in Ezra chapter 1 didn't fulfill the 70 years of desolation for Jerusalem. That required an additional 20 years. This was the difference between the first deportation in 605 that Daniel was part of, and then the destruction of Jerusalem in 586. It seems this final vision was an answer to some of Daniel's questions about the future of Israel and their relationship to the Gentile nations of the world. One thing is sure, Daniel was completely sober and fully alert when this vision was given to him. He had prepared himself, spirit, soul, and body, for this revelation. Verse 4 tells us that Daniel's vision occurred on the 24th day of the first month, and it also informs us that he was beside the Tigris River. I think we can safely assume that it was his government responsibilities that took him to that location. And this is the first clear statement we have that Daniel didn't return to Jerusalem with the exiles. Now remember, he was quite advanced in age, and he's also still serving a prominent place in government. Perhaps he felt he could do more for his people by remaining in Babylon than returning to Jerusalem. Let's move on now to look at the details of Daniel's vision. As Daniel is there by the river Tigris, he sees a vision of a glorious man. This man is dressed in linen, probably fine white linen, like Israel's priests wore. And around his waist is a golden belt or a sash, most likely linen, but embroidered with gold. And the gold is of unsurpassed quality. The body of this heavenly being is described as being like beryl. Several suggestions have been made about this precious stone. In the Septuagint, it's translated as chrysolite. Others have classified it as topaz. The Roman author Pliny described topaz this way, a transparent stone with a refulgence like that of gold. It seems the body of this messenger is like a gigantic, transparent jewel reflecting the glory of the rest of the vision. The face of this being is illuminated by lightning, and the eyes are like torches of fire. His arms and feet are like polished brass, and his appearance is accompanied by the mighty sound of a multitude. Now it's interesting, this sound was apparently not words to be understood, but something that gave the impression of overwhelming power. If you compare these descriptions here in Daniel chapter 10 with John's vision of the glorified Christ in the book of Revelation, you'll see some pretty significant similarities. Now, various commentators have expressed their opinions about who this heavenly messenger is, and all of them agree it is not a man, it is not a human, but it's either a glorious angel, such as Gabriel, or perhaps it's a theophany, that is, a physical manifestation of God's person. Now, in favor of this argument, there's a distinction made between the personage that's described in verses 5 and 6 and the angel of verse 10 to 14. And Michael is specifically mentioned in verse 13. Young and Kyle are two conservative expositors who believe this was an appearance of Christ as the angel of Jehovah. Notice with me the effect this heavenly visitor has on Daniel and his attendants. Daniel clearly states, I alone saw the vision. But somehow, even though those who were with Daniel saw nothing, they had this overwhelming sense of fear that caused them to run and hide. And as a result, Daniel is left alone to behold this awesome vision, this glorious vision. It reminds me a bit of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. The effect of this vision was that it completely robbed Daniel of his physical strength, and it even affected his physical appearance. He says that his comeliness was turned to corruption. The New American Standard Version puts it this way: my natural color turned to a deathly pallor. The word corruption used here is from the same root as the word marred in Isaiah 52, verse 14. There, the writer is speaking of the change in Jesus' physical features as a result of his scourging and crucifixion. Once again, Daniel reiterates, he retained no strength. Now, even in his weakened physical state, Daniel was still able to hear and understand the words that were being spoken. But when he heard those words, they only increased his debilitation. So he apparently fainted face down on the ground. You know, even the holiest of men are not equipped to withstand the awesome, overpowering holiness of Almighty God. And it was in this condition of extreme physical and emotional weakness that he was strengthened to receive further revelation. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue our study from Daniel chapter 10. Right now, let's think about this glorious heavenly being that Daniel saw.
Holy, 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 holy.
We are standing
on holy,
holy ground.
Holy, 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 holy.
And I know
holy,
that there
holy,
are angels
holy, holy,
all around.
Holy, holy, Lord.
Let us
praise Him. Praise Him, Jesus, now. Praise Him now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Let us praise Jesus now. Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Now praise Him.
Holy ground.
Holy, holy,
holy,
holy, holy, standing in His presence on holy ground. Holy, 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 Lord.
Thank you, men. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, it's available either on an audio CD or a printed manuscript. Just ask for the teaching, A Glorious Vision. You can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3. Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and use the contact button that's right on our homepage. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also listen to any of our archived programming when you visit the website. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of today's teaching, A Glorious Vision. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. We depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week here on The Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study, A Glorious Vision. And until we meet again,
you are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom?
Who can fathom the depth of your love?
You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I stand in awe of you, Jesus, and I stand in awe of you. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe.